Happy Monday, and thank you so much for downloading the Be Our Guest podcast. Today's episode of the show brought to you, as always, by the great site that's going to save you time on your next Disney vacation. Of course, we're talking about touringplans.com. Now, you can go old school or new school with your touringplans.com premium subscription. If you want to go old school, they have great tried and true touring plans that you can select. There's over 140 of these great touring plans that have been developed over the years. They have been used by thousands of people to get around the crowds and the lines on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or even Universal vacation. But you can go new school too and use the mobile app Lines, which lets you select the attractions you are most interested in, and it'll spit back the best way to see those attractions with waiting the least amount of time. So old school or new school, you can't go wrong. So drop by and support the folks over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 874 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Monday to you. I hope that you had a great weekend and, you know, you're doing well here at the end of June. Happy Father's Day, one day late, to all the dads out there. Hopefully you had a great Father's Day, got to spend some time with the kids, maybe got a new necktie or, maybe a gift certificate to go play some golf, who knows. If you're a Disney dad, hopefully you got a Disney gift card for your next trip, you know, or something like that. So I hope all the dads had a great Father's Day. And, you know, it's a Monday. We're going to get back at it here and have another trip report. And we're going a little international today. We're heading up north of the border, up to Vancouver, British Columbia, with my good friend Peter Anderson. Welcome to the show, Peter.
Thanks, Mike. It's good to be here.
Glad to have you. And, we were talking before we started recording. I have no idea how we're going to get all this in 30 minutes, but we're going to give it a shot.
Sounds good.
All right. So you had quite the adventure when you headed down to Florida or to, let's just say, south, because you went on a cruise first. So before we get into the details, because you did kind of a land and sea special, which is what I always do. Every time we take a cruise, you got to go to World 2. So give us the quick overview, then we'll dive into the cruise, the land part, and all that stuff.
Yeah, well, I had a unique opportunity because I'm a youth and young adult pastor at a Baptist church, and I've been there almost 9 years now, and they were gracious enough to give me a four-month sabbatical for a little bit of rest and recoup. And the first part of that was time to leave Vancouver and relax, have a long vacation. And we ended up, my wife and I went on a seven-night Eastern Caribbean cruise first, and then we headed to Disney World for about 3 or 4 days after that. And then she left. And then for 2 weeks, I actually stayed near offsite, but stayed near the world and volunteered a lot with Give Kids the World. And then also took in at least every day I was in a Disney park at some point during those 2 weeks.
So as you can see, lots to talk about today. I promise this won't be a Limoncello epic 7-hour extravaganza. We just did that a couple weeks ago on the Sunday show, but we want to talk about this because this is a very unique perspective. I've been dying to do this show. So Peter, tell us about the cruise first. You know, you guys cruise without kids, and you know, I think the fantasy of all the four ships in the Disney Cruise Line tends to have more couples rather. I mean, they have lots of families, don't get me wrong, but the couples tend to go for that one if they can, the Eastern and Western Caribbean. So what were your thoughts on the fantasy?
We loved it. It was my wife and I and two of our good friends, and we're all right around 30, no kids yet. And we were blown away. It was a first cruise for all of us, and to be on a ship like the Fantasy for your first cruise.
Oh,
was,
man, you're spoiled.
I know. It's one of those things where, you know, now it's, if we ever go anywhere else, it's going to be difficult to compare the two.
Yeah, no kidding. Going on the Fantasy first, it's a dream come true because it's amazing. But yeah, there's nothing wrong with any of the ships in the Disney Cruise Line fleet, let me tell you, because the classic ships have an intimacy that you don't get on the bigger ships. The dream is very much like the Fantasy. You just don't get to be on it as long. But yeah, you went all in on that. So tell us about that. You're with another couple and having a great time. So what were some of the highlights?
Well, we just loved everything about the ship. I love Art Deco, and the whole thing, it's completely an Art Deco theme on board, and everything's so beautiful and pristine, and the food is incredible, and there's, I was kind of overwhelmed by how much there was to do at all times. No matter where you went, there was something going on, which was amazing.
So as a first-time cruiser, because again, I love that perspective, and we are getting ready to go on our Be Our Guest podcast cruise here in just a couple of weeks now. We are so close. And we'll be on the Disney Dream, which is the sister ship of the Fantasy. And I've been quite a few times now, and I always like to go back and look at it as, you know, through the eyes of a first-time cruiser, because we do have some folks sailing with us that have never sailed before. So, you know, what were some of those things that stood out to you? Like, you know, I had this idea in my head, it was going to be like this, and then it turned out a lot differently, either positive or negative.
Yeah, I think that I underestimated how good the service was going to be, and that's a little bit hard to imagine, because one of the my friends are not quite as Disney crazy as I am, and they you know, they were sold by the level of service that all the reviewers give, and that couldn't have been more true, because our servers, Darko and Loredana, for all of our meals, were incredibly attentive to us and treated us like royalty. And everywhere we went, everybody was so courteous and just went out of their way to try to help you out, to have the most amazing time as you could. All the cast members that we encountered, whether it was a trivia thing or whether it was some fantasy sports game or just around the deck, they were all... seemed to really be enjoying themselves and what they were doing in their work. And that, I think that creates an atmosphere where everybody's just really enjoying themselves.
Yeah, I've always said that, you know, their jobs, and I know they're demanding jobs because they're on stage all the time. And, you know, we think of, you know, you're on a cruise for 7 nights, 5 nights, 3 nights, however long it is. And then you get off and you go on with your rest of your life, you know, but these people, you know, turn it back on 5 hours later, there's a whole new group of folks on the ship and they have to start from day one and it's the beginning of a cruise again. And they do such a great job of engaging everybody. So I agree with you so wholeheartedly, because from your dining staff, from your room stewards, to the entertainment staff, to the performers, it is amazing the level of energy they bring to each and every cruise. Because like I said, you would think it's kind of like Yeehaw Bob. I have the same parallel with him. It's almost like it's the first show every time. And you know, in reality, they've been doing the same thing over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a great compliment to them.
Yeah, it really is. They couldn't have treated us better. And another thing that we kind of, as a first timer, the entertainment was the quality of them. I know I was reading a review at one point for the guy who directs all the entertainment for Disney Cruise Lines, and he had gone somewhere else to work on another cruise line for a while, and he came back, and his comment was, all the other cruise lines are cruise line companies that have entertainment, whereas Disney is an entertainment company that happened to have a cruise line. And that the level of entertainment that they had, I was blown away at how we were on a boat, yet we were seeing these Broadway-style shows every evening, and I love that.
That's it. You got to catch yourself when you are in the big Walt Disney Theater, you know, because if you didn't know that you were on a cruise ship, that is so true, because the theater's so large, the production on the stage is so just over the top. You know, I'm from St. Louis. I'm from the Midwest. I've never been to Broadway or anything like that, so it's as good as it gets to me, and it's shocking. So now, did you have a favorite show during your cruise?
I would say Aladdin was probably my favorite one. There was I'm drawing a blank on his name, but there was a guy who was a juggler, and he was a part of one of the evening shows, and he rode like a two-story unicycle while navigating the stage, while juggling.
While he's on a ship, but yeah, not only he's on a moving boat too at the same time.
Yeah, and he's on a moving boat, and it was just amazing. I don't even comprehend how someone can do that, but that I really, really enjoyed. We also got a chance to, I don't know if they do this on every cruise, but we had two presentations from Peter Delvecco. I think that's how you say his name. He was the producer of Frozen, and he gave two separate and different presentations about how Frozen was made, stories. We saw video of behind the scenes and things that you wouldn't have been able to hear otherwise. And that was pretty amazing to have that opportunity on board as well.
Yeah, I don't think everybody gets that. I think that was pretty much an exclusive for your sailing. That's pretty sweet when you get access like that. Now, you know, we're recording around dinner time, as typically this podcast happens to go. So dining on board the Fantasy, was there a favorite restaurant or a favorite experience you had? Whether, I mean, sometimes people, it's just the pizza and the burgers. You know, it could be casual or it could be as fancy as Paolo or Remy. So what did you think about dining?
Yeah, the flexibility with which you feel free to just order whatever you want, because it's all included. And I remember one night there was, all of us saw the lobster ravioli on the menu, but none of us really wanted that for our main. And our server said, "Well, hey, we'll just get one for your table." And that kind of experience just blows my mind, because that's not a regular restaurant. You don't go somewhere and they're like, "Oh, just here, we'll just bring you one."
Exactly. Yeah, they'll be like, "We'll bring you one. It'll be just 25 extra bucks."
Sure. Yeah. We'll be happy to charge you for that, sir. We had that kind of experience. That we also, one of the my friends had a slight dairy allergy of some kind, and they would bring her the next night's menu so that she could choose what she wanted, so that they would specially prepare that entree for her at dinner the next night.
That's great. You know, again, that's just being proactive about in the customer service, you know, because that way she has a good idea of what to expect, and they do as well. And you're kind of coming to an understanding ahead of time, not just kind of making it up as you go. I love that.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing. We did go to Paolo. We did not go to Remy, but Paolo was, that was probably our third or fourth night. And I had been blown away with the dinners up to that point in the food. And then Paolo just took it up a notch. I didn't think there was a notch to go up. And I can't even imagine what Remy would be like as something that's apparently even a nicer experience. But Paolo was incredible.
Yeah, I'm exactly the same way. Never been to Remy. I wouldn't know what to do there. I know my good friend Jay and Melissa and Joanne and Jerry have gone there. Pam and Steve have gone there. But I don't know. Like, I feel like Paolo is out of my league as it is. If I go to Remy, I'll be so far out of my league. They'll be like, "Sir, you're not supposed to be here." And I know they wouldn't say that, but I'd be a nervous wreck.
Yeah, it was pretty incredible with all the different courses and the special things to cleanse your palate between courses and the presentation. And I ordered sea bass, and they brought it out in parchment paper and opened it right in front of me, and then placed it on my plate and arranged the vegetables right in front of me. And it was an experience, to say the least.
Yeah, it is. That's what you know, cruising's about. You do, and that's the word. You get experiences at every corner. So, let's wrap up the cruise portion here with a couple questions I want to ask you. You did Eastern Caribbean, so a favorite port of call. Did you do anything adventurous when it came to your stops?
Yeah, we stopped at St. Martin, and we wanted to kind of see St. Martin beyond the kind of touristy area. And so we walked through town and ended up on their public bus system, which on St. Martin is essentially these VW vans that they pick you up, and then you tell them where you want to go, and they're like, "Oh, okay, $2. And I mean, it's a really a trip. And we ended up going kind of across the island, and they used their horn. We didn't understand exactly what they were using their horn for. I think it was used to say hello, get out of my way.
Same thing in Mexico.
They just used their horn for everything. And we were glad that we were not renting a car and trying to drive, because it was not like North America driving.
Now, did you happen to go to that beach where the airplanes come in so low? Because I know you're trying to avoid the touristy areas, but I mean, I'd almost have to see that.
Yeah, we did. We stopped there first, took in a couple of planes, but I mean, it's pretty crowded. You wouldn't want to swim there, I don't think. It's just, there's tourists everywhere. But then from there, we walked. We asked the local, and they told us we could walk, you know, probably 15 minutes over to a more of a resort beach down the way. And that's where we spent the day. They had a nice kind of barbecue place on the water, and we just sat and and swam and ate lunch and just spent mostly a beach day. But that was, it was nice to get on the beach and just relax that day.
Sounds great. Okay, closing up the cruise, tell me about your cabin. You know, what kind of category did you have and what did you think about the efficiency or location? I mean, what was your cabin like?
Yeah, we had an inside stateroom. We had the get us on the boat for as little money as possible.
That's room. Me. That's totally me. Trust me.
And what impressed me the most about the room is, although I didn't see any other rooms, but for the size of our room, they make use of every square inch of that room with storage and with places to sit. And we found for two people, it was plenty big enough, and I think you could technically fit five people in there. That would have been interesting, but for two people it was perfect for us, and our room connected with our friends, and we could have the door open, and that made it nice to communicate with them. But having known no different, I enjoyed the virtual porthole. It was fine.
Yeah, that's, you got on the fanciest ship, but you got the right stateroom because now you can kind of graduate into an ocean view and then a veranda. But I will tell you, you mentioned it. Those staterooms are 169 square feet, but we went on that. We had that stateroom category, my family of four, the first podcast cruise. There were four of us in that stateroom, and we were gone on vacation for 3 weeks. So four people, 3 weeks worth of luggage in 169 square feet. We survived,
wow.
But we've had to, my wife has forced me to get larger cabins from now on. I tried to get the inside again for this podcast cruise coming up. And she said, yeah, that's not happening. I'm like, we're on that. I said the same thing. You know, once you're on the boat, everything's equal. No, you got to get us something a little bit bigger.
I can understand that. The only thing I'll say is that, later in the evenings, we were above where the crew was staying. They were on the floor below us, and we could hear relatively loud music coming from below us. Mm. And it turned off about the same time every night, and I can't tell you when that was, but my guess is that there must be quiet hours down there.
It's a lights out.
It was, yeah, it was quite noisy at times towards a certain, it was quite late in the evening. So that would be one thing for people to consider. I don't know if it's always that way, but it was that way for us.
All right, great tip there. All right, so let's head back to land, even though I'm dying to go on my cruise. Boy, it's coming up soon, but let's head back to Walt Disney World. You headed over, so where'd you stay? And because you stayed with your wife there at Walt Disney World for a while, so how did that part of the trip go?
It was great. This is actually my first time. I've been to Disney World and Disneyland many times before, but this is the first time I've ever stayed on property at all. And we stayed at Pop Century for a few nights. And then we stayed one night at Animal Kingdom Lodge in a Savannah View room.
Wow. That's, I mean, because I've done both and I love Pop Century, but Animal Kingdom Lodge kind of trumps it a little bit.
Yeah.
So
they were,
you guys,
both good experiences. We, for Pop Century, we wanted a place to lay our heads, and we were going to be going into the parks and spending most of our days there, as well as we volunteered a bit with Give Kids the World while my wife was still there. But then with Animal Kingdom Lodge, we purposely didn't want to do anything other than just enjoy that beautiful resort. We'd never been there, either of us, and so while we were there, we ate there, we hung out there, we spent the entire morning after we woke up just sitting on our balcony looking at the animals and tried to really enjoy everything that Animal Kingdom Lodge had to offer.
And that's exactly what, yeah, that's so funny, because after the cruise, it's so hard, and you know this because you just got off the Fantasy, you know, on this trip, but the worst thing you can do is getting off the cruise and immediately driving over to the airport and heading home, or in my case, driving 16 hours home. That's way worse than probably getting on an airplane. So I always make sure that we can stay at least a night or two back at Walt Disney World before we have to go home to kind of readjust to reality. And we're doing the same thing. We're staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge post-cruise for the same reason you just said. I don't want to go into the parks and go crazy. We'll still probably go into the park maybe a little bit. But I think when you stay in a deluxe property like Animal Kingdom Lodge or the Polynesian or the Grand or Beach Club, Yacht Club, anything like that, you need to take advantage because it is a deluxe property. You know, there's lots to do at the resort, and it sounds like, you know, not only with dining but with especially Animal Kingdom Lodge, with the animals and all the experiences you can have there, you have to have that mindset going in saying, you know what, let's take advantage of where we are. And I think that's a great call.
Yeah, it worked out really well for us because the highlight of the cruise was amazing, but the highlight for my wife would have been Animal Kingdom Lodge, because she absolutely loves animals. And it was so fun for me to be sitting out there on the balcony with her in the morning and just seeing the joy in her face as zebras and wildebeest and giraffes and all the other African animals are just there. I mean, 50, 60 feet from us, we were on the lowest balcony. So we were quite close as you could get really to the animals. And that was, I don't know where else you would get that experience other than there, maybe in Africa, I guess.
Yeah, that's it. And, you know, again, one of those things, it took me years and years to get over to Animal Kingdom Lodge because I had just told myself, oh, it's so remote. You know, I like being in these resorts that are in the middle of the action. It just seems like it's so far out there. The bus rides are going to be, you know, really long to the parks. And that wasn't the case at all. Yes, it is kind of remote, but it's a hop, skip, and a jump everywhere. It's all relative at Walt Disney World. In the, you know, for that extra 5 minutes on the bus, the return you get, like you said, if you have a Savannah View room, which if you stay there, you really need to try to get that because it's amazing. I mean, when you see a giraffe or a zebra, like you said, 50 feet, you know, 100, 150 feet outside your balcony, it's, I don't know, it takes you somewhere else. It really does. And you know, not to get all, you know, philosophical here, but I think it's so good for the soul to be able to just kind of sit out there for 30 minutes and leave. And this is hard for me, but don't pick up your iPhone or any electronic device. Just sit there and kind of watch the world come back alive, you know, at sunrise one morning. I did that. And it was truly amazing to kind of see and, you know, in your mind's eye picture, what would this look like? I mean, because it looks very similar. You know, what if I was sitting in Africa and being able to take this in on a genuine safari? So I'm never probably going to do that, but it was really neat to kind of see, you know, the day start and the animals just kind of wander around, have their breakfast. And, you know, where else can you do that? I think you said it well.
Yeah. And it's, we saw a giraffe, actually lay down, which was a very remarkable process of an animal that is that body type. And we asked one of the guides there, because at the resort, they have guides that are from Africa, and their job is just to tell you about the animals. And they said that that's something that you will never see in the wild, because it takes them a while to get back up. And if there's a predator, they wouldn't be able to get up in time. But to be able to see that there was pretty amazing thing.
It is. It's so cool. So if you ever get a chance to go to Animal Kingdom Lodge, please do that, because you'll enjoy that. Well, let's talk, you know, before we hop over to Give Kids the World, because I definitely want to give some time to that today, but give us some highlights from your park touring when you were over at Pop Century. You know, maybe favorite attractions, or maybe you had a good meal around property, something like that. What was that part of the trip like?
Well, the only table service meal we had was at Sanaa, and I know that everyone raves, but I have to as well, about the bread service. That was an amazing experience. Three different types of naan bread, and then nine sauces, and ranging from kind of a mild tzatziki to a really, really, really spicy jalapeno sauce and everything in between. And that meal was really neat. The only recommendation I'd make for people, we were there in the winter in January, and we made a dinner reservation. And we were right by the window, but because it was winter, it was already dark. And we weren't able to see the animals. And I think it would be, if you're there in the winter, I mean, in the summer, it's still going to be light at dinner time. But in the winter, lunch is probably a good way to go at Sanaa, because you'll then be able to see the animals, which will be an extra benefit, probably.
Yeah, that's a great call, because I wouldn't think about that. I mean, yeah, if you got a window seat, who cares if it's dark? You can't see anything.
No, yeah, I didn't think about that either.
That'd be my luck. Like, oh, man, great seat, no view.
Right. The animals, we know they're out there. We saw them earlier, but...
Yeah, can we get some headlights on those gazelle or something so we can see them? That's it. Now,
yeah, go ahead. The service, and I love this about Disney, but my wife ordered a curry that she thought would be okay for her, but it ended up being a bit too spicy. And rather than... making a big deal of it, our waitress just brought us a new curry, an extra a curry that was butter chicken, I think, that was a milder one, and no extra charge, just brought it and said, here, I think this will work better for you. And that was really nice of them to do that for us.
It's always good to hear. Yeah, again, you know, if Disney stops doing that stuff where it's customer service, that's when we're going to be in trouble. But as long as they keep taking care of us and, again, treating us like guests, I mean, they call us guests and hopefully they always treat us as though we're a guest in their home. You know, I think we're going to have something good for years and years, just like we do now. So love hearing that. Now, let me ask you this because I want to get to Give Kids the World kind of to close out the show. But after your wife went home, you got to stay down there and stay off-site and did a lot of solo touring. So talk to us about, you know, both the off-site stay and kind of commuting back and forth to the parks, and also, you know, how you saw the parks in the experience as a solo person.
It was interesting. I needed to, after a 7-night cruise and then staying on property, I needed to stay there. It was 2 more weeks, and it needed to be as cheap as possible. And I stumbled upon something that was an amazing thing for me, a website called Hotwire. And what they do is they have these secret Hotwire hotels, and you put in where you want to go, and then they give you a shaded area of the map, and you click on it, and it tells you, okay, you can get a 3-star hotel with these amenities for this amount of money. And they don't tell you what hotel, but you get a general area. But I did call them, and I said, can you help me out at all to know what this is? And they said, well, the last 4 people that booked the deal you're looking at got this hotel, so you'll probably get it. And I ended up with a 3-star hotel for $30 a night.
Holy cow, that's crazy.
And to put in perspective where it was a 3-minute drive from the entrance of Animal Kingdom. Like, that's how close I was. I was technically off property, but that's how close I was for $30 a night, and included a big hot breakfast. And my room had, you know, the fridge and the microwave and all that stuff. So that it ended up being $500 for 14 nights.
That is unbelievable. I mean, you stayed at a deluxe resort. That's like a night. That's like 1 night. You got 2 weeks.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's like not too much more than our night in a Savannah View room at the Animal Kingdom Lodge.
And you got, what, 14 meals out of that, too? You get a breakfast every single day. That's ridiculous.
That was it. I had breakfast every day. So I definitely got my money's worth there. And so Hotwire was a great way to go for me. It made the trip, you know, the ability to stay for 2 weeks really affordable. There. So that's something that if people need to be there for a long time, that might be a good way to go.
All right, I'm calling it right here. For 2015, Peter is the most frugal podcast listener of the year. Case solved. You win. That is unreal. That's a great find and a great tip for folks that are looking to kind of stretch that dollar on their next Disney vacation.
Yeah, I mean, if you can save money that way, then you can spend it in other ways. And Disney makes sure you spend it in other ways.
That's so true, man. That is so true. So tell us about going around, though. And, you know, you had time is usually not on your side when you're down there. But it was in this case for you. So what was that like?
Touring alone was an interesting thing. I visited, one of the things I wanted to do is I visited every single Disney resort. Again, I'd never stayed on property before, so there I really hadn't explored any of the resorts, and that was fun to just go in, and there's no problem. I had a rental car, and they have no problem whatsoever with you visiting the resorts. I just said at the gate, hey, I'm here to visit, and they'd often say, well, hey, make sure you check out this and this and that, and they were really welcoming at all the different resorts there, and it was great kind of to think about, all right, where do I want to stay next time I come down here? And my favorites were probably Wilderness Lodge and the Polynesian as far as theming goes. I also really liked Coronado Springs, which I wasn't expecting to really like that one, but I thought the theming was really great there.
It's beautiful over at Coronado Springs. Very underrated resort. I'm glad you said that, because that was going to be my next question. When you said you visited them all, okay, like which ones, you know, really stood out? And you picked 3 good ones. The first two, though, Wilderness Lodge and Polynesian, you have Disney fantasy taste again. It wasn't
an
all-star.
I know. It's yeah, there's the price point there is a little bit higher, but the theming is what really draws me in, and I think that's what's important for people is they're all going to be, all the hotels are going to be really great there, and the service is going to be wonderful. You really just need to pick a theme that works for you, that draws you in.
Absolutely, I totally agree. You know, there's a different experience and a different feel every trip if you want, and that's what's great, and that's why there's such a repeatability for a Walt Disney World vacation. All right, so let's kind of close out with Give Kids World, because you know this is a place that's near and dear to my heart and the hearts of our listeners. Our listeners stepped up in a big way back on Sunday, June 14th, to raise a lot of money to help these families out. What's it like when you actually, you know, because it's one thing to give money, which is a great thing because money lets them build buildings and buy tickets and ice cream and, you know, all the necessities that makes the magic happen down at this wonderful, wonderful place. But also, you know, when you can give your time, that is something that's probably even more precious than money in many ways, and especially your talents. So I know you did this with your wife, and you're a youth minister, so you are working with kids all the time and youth, and I'm sure that was an asset for this this experience for you. But tell us about doing that both with your wife and then later on in the trip.
Yeah, serving at Give Kids the World was an incredible experience. There's a family that's really, really close to me, and their daughter was born with a golf ball-sized tumor in her mouth. And she had years of battling that, and when she was about 5, she was able to go down to Give Kids the World with her family as her make-a-wish. And they had an incredible experience there and just loved it and were taken such good care of. And then, and she's fully recovered now. She was a flower girl in our wedding, and they were able to go back about a year and a half ago over spring break, and then now they, as a family, were serving the other families. Wow. And it was that experience which really got me thinking about, I really want serving at Give Kids the World to be a huge part of what I do during my sabbatical, my time off. And it was everything I hoped it would be, because you recognize that for so many of the families that are down there, this is maybe the first vacation they've ever taken as a family, because it becomes such a challenge to travel with health issues of all different kinds that they have, and to have a resort that is an amazing resort in and of itself that is so specially designed to care for you is just, you can see it in people's faces that they can't even express how appreciative they are for this experience.
Yeah, that's so good to hear, because I'm sure that, you know, any act of kindness, they've had, you know, these families have had such a tough road to go down, and it's so unfair that, you know, these things, you know, because it's just, you know, it happens a lot of times, and there's no, we don't know why these things happen, and it's so tough. But I mean, I'm sure, like you said, any act of kindness, these people are just so grateful for. So tell us about, like, you know, what did you do? Like, what kind of things did you do when you were at the village?
A lot of different things. I tried to volunteer in as many different ways as possible. I drove a train. I operated a carousel, served meals to people. Each night there is a different theme. One night is Halloween, and one night is, on the Halloween night, I was a greeter at the castle, and I got there a little bit late, and the only costume left was a bowling ball. So I was the greeter welcoming them to the party dressed as a bowling ball, and I kept asking the kids if they could guess what I was, and none of them could guess that I was a bowling ball. I'm not surprised. But one of the amazing things, at this Halloween party, they had live animals. They had a guy doing science outside, blowing things up for the kids. They could trick or treat. And then they had a rack of brand new costumes. And each and every kid went in and chose out a Hulk costume or a princess dress. And it's a right off the rack, put them on, and then they got to take them home with them as well. And these experiences, these kids are incredible each and every night. And another night was a tea party, and I did a puppet show all night. And my job was to do a puppet show for the kids all night long and interact with them that way. And I could go on and on about all the different things. But I think I read that they require about 7,000 volunteer hours a week to make that place run.
Wow.
And so I worked with some people who have put in well over 1,000 hours serving there over the years. And it's an amazing, amazing place that I'm so grateful that I got a chance to see firsthand and participate, even if in a small way, in the blessing that it is to these families.
So do you remember how you got involved? Like, you know, if somebody wants to volunteer on the next Disney vacation, how do they make that happen?
It's not actually that difficult. If you go to Give Kids the World, it's gktw.org. You can click on volunteer. And if you're, what was interesting is, as I'm a U.S. citizen, and I had to go through a background check and do an online training first before I could do that. But my wife, being a Canadian citizen, she did the online training, but didn't actually have to do the background check, which was interesting. But once you get through that process, then you're assigned a what's called an angel access number. And then you can go online, and they have a calendar system where you can click on the day you want to volunteer, and then they'll list all the jobs, and you just select them. And some will be limited on your age, and some of them require a driver's license and that kind of thing. But otherwise, you can pick and choose. You can't do more than two shifts in a day. But it's quite easy. When you get there, you have an orientation your first time. And wherever you volunteer, if it's your first time, for instance, driving the train, a staff member will meet you there at the beginning of your shift, and they train you on what to do. So you're never left thinking I'm ill prepared for what they've been asking me to do. And it's a great experience. So I'd encourage people to get involved there and to take a day or two out of the vacation time. It's from Disney World. It's only about a 20-minute drive or so to get there. It's not too far. And it would be well worth it to give back to these families that that have had such a rough go.
All right. Well, Peter, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your cruise and your Walt Disney World stay, and especially your touching stories with Give Kids the World. And all the best. God bless with everything you're doing up there in Vancouver with the youth. And hope it continues to flourish for you and your church.
Yeah, thanks so much, Mike. It's been a pleasure being a part of this. And yeah, thanks again for the podcast. I love it every Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Thank you so much, sir. Appreciate it. And I'm sure we'll talk again once you get back, and we'll have to talk here on the show about your next adventures.
Sounds good.
All right. Don't forget, today's episode brought to you by the good folks over at touringplans.com. They've been with us for years because they are a service that I believe in. I truly do. They have put in the legwork into this product. They've gone out there and actually gotten massive blisters. They've lost the skin on the bottom of their feet because they were collecting wait times way back for years and years, just so that they had scientific models that give you the best experience on your next Walt Disney World or Disneyland vacation. Like I said in the ad read at the top, you can go old school with the tried and true touring plans. Just follow them step by step by step. Or you can go new school and use the online app, the mobile app right there on your device called Lines, which lets you select the attractions you are most interested in that day. Maybe, you know, someday you just don't want to do Star Tours. You just ate lunch. You know, hey, maybe it's a good call there. And it'll just give you the best way to see those attractions with the least amount of weight. So check them out today. Support the folks who support us. They're over at touringplans.com. Do check out Magical Mouse Radio, because tomorrow on Tuesday, it's Background Loop Tuesday, 21 straight hours of nothing but authentic background loops from Walt Disney World. And of course, we have World Showcase Wednesday, Retro Thursdays, Future World Fridays. It's always a party. And we are the official station of summer 2015, just so you know. We're over at MagicalMouseRadio.com. Give us a follow on Twitter. We're at BeOurGuestMike. We're on Facebook at Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And of course, join the friendliest forums on the internet over at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/forums. One last favor. If you wouldn't mind, a couple of places, drop by iTunes, and also you can do this on Stitcher. If you wouldn't mind giving us a rating and a review on those two places, it helps us expand the show, and we always want to meet new friends because it makes the show even better. We get to share more stories here on a Monday. All right, we're going to let you get back to work. Thank you so much for starting your week with us here on the Be Our Guest podcast. Hope all is going well for you. So for Peter, I'm Mike, wishing you a great week. Continue to work hard, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.